You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, Hillsiders. I want to give you an invitation to head back towards your seat or your couch or wherever you happen to be as we prepare for the message today. And just to kick things off with this, I know this is awkward and different and weird. Let me just focus on the word different than we would normally do. In the last couple of weeks, we've decided to take this Sunday, the 27th, and to give all of our teams time off and to do something that we have not done, even though we've been doing a lot of online services. We have not done a pre-recorded service, except for Easter and Christmas Eve, I guess you want to call it that. We haven't done a regular service all year that was pre-recorded. And so Cassidy, Chris, and I worked through and decided this is what we were going to do for today. And so thank you for your flexibility. But I think also, it, even without intending to, it may be a little bit of a picture as to a little bit of a foretaste of what God is wanting to do in us for next year. And it goes along with the being positive, being flexible, being resilient that we have used as our mantra for 2020. But that is that God is wanting to do something new. And we're going to be talking about that in just a couple of minutes. And so as we prepare, normally we've got a great media team that's putting together all the words so you'd be able to see them, like in here and all that. Anyway, I'm going to just throw this out there. Our two scriptures for the day are Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. That's Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And then Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 through 21. Isaiah 43, 16 through 21. And I want to invite you to do something, even if you're not normally a note taker, or you normally just like to sit, or if this is the time when you go and you get on your exercise bike or your treadmill or, you know, busting out your coffee, grab a notepad or a journal or your phone or something that you can take some notes in. And even if you're not taking notes on what is being said by me, I want to invite you to be listening for what the Holy Spirit would want to speak to you about the areas that He would like to address in, through, and around your life coming in 2021. As we head in that direction, I just want to pray for us as we get ready to launch in. So, Heavenly Father, I thank You that You can work in a variety of ways and means, and I thank You for the opportunity to be able to be together, quote unquote, even though we're not in physically in person. I would ask that You would speak to our hearts. I pray for a prophetic and direct insight into what You have for us to focus on. Even if we don't see what the outcome is, we can see what You're wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives in 2021, and we can prepare ourselves for what is coming, even if we don't fully understand it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just as a little bit of background, speaking of background, I told my wife I was going to tell you this. When I initially started like preparing for doing this message, it did not look like this behind me. It had the tree, but everything else looked normal. And so it's really funny. I'm not allowed to move this computer at all to the left or to the right because what is in the frame is absolutely beautiful. But outside the frame, it looks like a normal house, which means Louis got a mess. And it's not my wife's mess, it's mine. Anyway, I'm just letting you know that. And it's also kind of a picture how I can present to you, here's what the background looks like, and it's wonderful, and it's awesome. But just outside the lines of that, there's always going to be a mess. And I think in some ways, our relationship with Jesus, he works in the middle of our mess. And it's not that we have to make everything look perfect, but my wife likes to make them look pretty. But it's not like everything has to be perfect for God to work in our lives. He works in the middle of the mess, and I'm thankful for that. So thank you, Joanne, for all that you did to make it easier for people to look at this today. Looks good. So, as we look at these scriptures today from Revelation and Isaiah, there can be a big temptation for us to try and interpret what the scriptures mean and do a this is that type of comparison to try and say, oh, in this particular scripture, it says this, so that must mean this. Or in here, in this scripture in Isaiah, it talks about what this is. And so I wonder if this is what it's going to be in my life coming up in 2020. And rather than give into the temptation to predict or to try and interpret or to come up with a definition, my encouragement would be to just save these things in your heart, like Mary did when she was watching her son Jesus grow up. It says over and over, she treasured these things in her heart and she just kind of waited. We can get into trouble trying to make something happen. Throughout scripture, we see over and over again where there are well-meaning men and women who hear something from God and think, oh, this is what this is going to mean. And you, in a situation like that, Abraham hears, we're going to have a kid, me and Sarah are. They can't get pregnant for a while. So he says, well, maybe what we should do is I should have a kid with my maidservant, Hagar. And they end up causing a whole bunch of havoc in God's plan. And just there's tons of stuff like that. And so rather than being tempted to try and come up with a definition, let's just treasure these things in our heart. And really, in a lot of ways, when we try and define or to interpret something that we don't fully understand, we often will put some sort of transitional term on that thing that we're trying to define, and we define it according to what it is not. So one example, going back to the turn of the 20th century, as cars or automobiles began to proliferate, what they were originally called was horseless carriages, because people had the idea of what a transportation looked like, and that was in a carriage drawn by a horse. But with the change that was coming, they said, well, this is a carriage, but it doesn't have a horse, so that, obviously that's what this should be called. And you know, later on, we're 100 and something years out, and we look horseless carriage, you got to actually look up what that is. We can't define the future based on trying to interpret the past and then say, well, it's going to look something not like this, but something like that. And so probably nebulous as all get out, but let's just treasure these things in our heart and allow God to speak to us and to reveal as he sees fit, because his ways are going to be much better than ours anyway. And by the way, as I'm talking about these things, I really do feel like this is a prophetic time and a prophetic word for our church heading into 2021. And with that said, I don't know where this ends up. And it's not like there's already a landing spot that says, and then this is what's going to go on. But I have to think that what's gone on in 2020 and this, the shifts in our society and even within our world and how things are done, what normal looks like, it doesn't mean that everything's scrapped and gone away, but it does mean that God can and will use new possibilities for us as his people to be making disciples, to be spreading the gospel, to be people who are living and breathing the message of the gospel and being and doing what Jesus would be being and doing if he was walking in our shoes, wherever we happen to go. He's going to do it in a way that looks different than what it looked like in the past, because the world is shifting and the culture is shifting and people's expectations and their openness is shifting. And that doesn't mean we're closed off. It simply means there's an invitation for God to do something really cool and really new. And so I'm going to take a second and I'm going to read through Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. That's Revelation 21, 1 through 5, coming at you from the NIV. And I want you just to hear this. By the way, this is the theme verse or verses that Foursquare, our mother church, the denomination community that we are a part of and have been since our, you know, really close to our inception, this is the theme verse for our year. In 2020, our theme verse was compelled by Jesus, and really compelled address the fact that Jesus is going to lead us and guide us and make us head in directions that we would not normally go. And so the theme for 2021 is, I make all things new. And that's Jesus talking. I make all things new. That's a good thing. So let's read this. Revelation chapter 21. It says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne says, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Okay, so that's talking about the very end of time after the great white throne judgment, when Jesus has returned and he says, I'm going to restore and heal and make all things new. The things that had been broken by sin, by corruption, by generation upon generation of junk, that's going to be shifted. I'm going to make them new. Now, for us, looking at it, it's not going to be completely new until his return. But looking at our life right now, what are some of the things that show up in our lives that we are hoping go on the wish list for something new? And is the stuff that we're thinking about, is it truly something new, or is it a redo or a return to something that was before? If we're looking for a redo or a return to something that was before, I don't know that we're going to really get excited about the things that we would see happen, because we can't go backwards. And God doesn't ever take us backwards to something. He leads us forwards into his provision for what's coming next. And while it may be comfortable, because we're more comfortable with the past and what's happened before, to look back and think, I hope we get to go back and do this. And meeting together for church on Sunday is a great one. But also recognizing God doesn't lead us backwards. And that doesn't mean meeting together is going backwards, but it's an example of when we're looking at God making things new, are we looking at something that is a return to a place we've been? So the place of comfort, the place of the known, or is it taking us to a place of trust in something that we have not been here before? We don't know what it's supposed to be like, but we do know that the one who's taking us there is trustworthy and reliable. In looking up the word new here in the Greek, it has a couple of connotations. And the first one for new, when he says, I make all things new, it's a new form. And that is something that's recently made, something that is fresh, something that is recent, something that is unused. It really speaks to something that it's like pulling, like I have some baseball cards in my garage and I have packages that are completely unopened. Some that go back into the 70s and these packs are completely unopened. Ideally, you pull those cards out, they would look completely brand new. And that's one of those things. It's almost like an extreme makeover or a transformation that takes place where somebody goes into an old house, looks at it, and it needs to be completely restored. And that after that extreme makeover, it's even better than it was before. That's one connotation of what new is. But another connotation of new, and I think it really God is talking about both of these, it's a new kind, something that is unprecedented, something that we have not seen before, something that is novel. It's like, where did this come from? What is it? And in a lot of ways, we see a lot of places in history where God is dealing with his people. And when he does a work of provision, they even will ask the question, you know, what is it? I think back to when Israel is in the heading on the way to the promised land, and they're kind of had been disobedient and had been living in rebellion. So their 6 to 8 week journey turns into a 40-year journey. God chose to provide for them through manna. And the manna is a Hebrew word that actually means, what is it? They had seen bread before, but they'd never seen bread from heaven. And so when God was causing it to appear or fall from heaven and land on the ground 6 days out of seven during the week, and on the sixth day, he caused double so they could get double the amount so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath. Amazing. They looked at it, it's like, well, what is this stuff? Don't freak out when God is doing something in your life and you don't know what it is, because sometimes we won't get to see what it is until he reveals it, until the Holy Spirit kind of peels back the curtain and shines a light and then applies it and says, this is what this is. It's manna. And God is doing and revealing new manna for us. Okay. The idea of something unprecedented. Most of the time, especially for me, who I absolutely love history. Most of the time, we like to look to our past to find definitions to interpret what's happening today. And so looking back through history, we can say, oh, I look at this particular situation and I can interpret what's going on here. Through our pandemic, many people have been looking back to the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic and saying they're looking for some sort of clues as to how does society function. Has anything changed in our world since 1918, technologically, information-wise, communication-wise? Yeah, everything has. So while it can give us some general information, it does not reveal what look going forward in 2020 and 2021 looks like. We can't look back at through 1918 and say, oh, this is what we need to do next. Oh, the roaring 20s are coming back. That's not how this stuff works. How it works is something unprecedented that is taking place in our lifetime gets met by an unprecedented move of God in our lives. And it's a phenomenal opportunity. Don't know exactly what that looks like yet, but it's something to anticipate and to look forward to. So another scripture I want us to look at, and this is one that about 8 weeks ago when we just had started our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series, one of the things that came up is I was reading through some scriptures. Sorry, I got to open up my, there we go. All right, I'm just technology. I was looking through some scriptures in preparation for where we were headed for that particular day, and I couldn't get out of Isaiah chapter 43. And part of it is I've been reading through Isaiah in my regular Bible reading, but I've also been reading it in my studies. And I came across this passage in Isaiah 43, and I just heard God saying, this is what I'm going to do in, through, and around Hillside in 2021. And what that means to me is when we read these, we hear these words, be thinking about God's reputation, what he's done before, and what he's speaking because out of that reputation into our lives personally, in our families, within our church, within our community, within our workplace, even if our workplace is at home, whatever it looks like, God is wanting to do something new. Listen to this, Isaiah 43, 16 through 20. It says this, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the city, excuse me, a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Same, same. New thing. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. To give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Okay? These set of verses start off with God's resume, and it really refers to when he was delivering Israel from Egypt after 430 years of slavery, and he really trains them to be dependent and to rely upon him. After 12 plus generations of being enslaved in Egypt, many of them had taken up Egyptian gods and Egyptian culture and Egyptian ways simply from being there. This 40-year transitional period, God revealed himself to be their people, their God, and they were going to be his people. And he's going to get them to trust him and his word and his commandments. And it was a long-drawn-out process, and it continues to be, because we want to run to something that is a known quantity that we can just put our hopes and our trust and our dreams in, instead of moving forward into the thing God leads us to. And he's always leading us forward. Sometimes we camp out for a while, but he's always leading us towards something good. In his resume portion of this Isaiah 43 passage, it's referring to Exodus chapter 14, where Israel crossed over the Red Sea, and they didn't have boats. They didn't have a special boat bridge. There was nothing like that to help them get across the sea. They were being chased by the Egyptian army. You know, Pharaoh had let them go after, you know, the 10th plague that had taken the firstborn, and then realized his entire workforce had been released. So he chases them with his army, and Israel, as they're marching, they follow this pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they get to the very edge of the Red Sea, and there's nowhere to go. And they start freaking out and say, "Come on, Moses, what are you doing to us? How could you lead us into something where it's so obviously going to be death and destruction?" Okay, parallels to 2020. So anyway, leading us in that direction, and Moses cries out to God, and God says, "Dude, I got this. I have it. What I want you to do is I want you to know that I'm going to do something great. I'm going to show these people that you're the person that's supposed to be leading them, and I'm going to do things that they would have never imagined." He sends Moses to the edge of the Red Sea, and Moses takes his staff, you know, me and my trusty C-3PO pen, he takes his staff and he strikes the Red Sea, and it says, and the great east wind begins to blow, and it spreads like this. And all of Israel, as soon as the ground is dry in the middle, all of Israel can cross from one side of the Red Sea to the other side. God created a pathway in the past for the Israelites to go to a place of safety, what had seemed to be a place of absolute destruction. And so it's a remembrance, it's a reminder of that which had gone before. God creates this pattern and his pathway so his Israelites can get to from danger to safety, and it's a reminder, this is what my God can do. But it's also something that is in verse 18, he says something to the effect of, but I don't want you to live in the past. Don't look backwards at what I've done before. I'm going to give you more opportunities to see me do great things going forward. So get this, you know, it'd be great enough to be able to look back and say, all those generations ago, here's what happened with our people. God delivered them from the Egyptians, and they were able to cross the Red Sea miraculously. Wasn't that cool? Many generations down the road, Israel's going to be hearing this and says, well, that's great, but what about us now? The blessings of God and his mercies are new every morning. And so we don't have to live on what God did in our ancestors' lives. He wants to do things in our lives. And one of the ways that he leads us into those spots of doing those new miraculous deliverance things in our lives is he works in us in the middle of circumstances that are dire, that are frustrating, that are beyond our control. And we really have no choice but to call upon him and to call upon his name. And that's what He wants us to do, so he can show himself strong, because he wants that close relationship with us as his people. Cool. So as I'm looking at this, he says, I want you to forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. I want you to look and pay attention, because I am doing a new thing. And what I hear in this is, if we look around us even right now, instead of looking backwards, God's inviting us to look forward and even to look in our present and to look to see, where is God currently moving in and around your life? He's already at work. It's not about something he's just going to do in the future. He is already preparing now to do something in our lives. So let's just take a second, be thinking about it. What is it that God is doing, that he's preparing to do, that he's already begun to do, that you are noticing, or that you're noticing, and maybe it's in your spouse's life or in a friend's life? Because sometimes we see the work of God in other people long before we see it in ourselves. But just take a second, think about that. Okay? So the next part of the verse is, he's saying, now it's springing up. Don't you already perceive it? And then he says, here's what's going on. He says, I am making a way or a road or a path in the wilderness, and I am making streams rise up in the wilderness. Now, the very fact of what a wilderness is, it's a place where there is nothing. There is no road. It's just vacant. It's blank. There's no way to get from one place to another. And God says, I'm already doing something new, and this new thing is to put a pathway or to put a road in a place where there has never been one before. I'm going to create a way for you to be able to get where you need to go in a supernatural way that you could not have created on your own. The things that God is calling us to, the new things, the things he's doing that are new, the things that he's doing that are unprecedented, we cannot get there in our own strength. We can only get there through trust and faith and taking steps to follow after God day by day and begin to walk upon the path that he's laying in front of us in the middle of the world of the wilderness. And so not living in the past, but looking in the present and the future for where he's working, and even in the impossible, or especially in the impossible, we're looking to see God's hand opening up doors and creating a path. And sometimes we start off on that path just like Dorothy did on the yellow brick road, a couple of steps at a time. It's a stumble here and a stumble there, but we are walking, we are committed to keep going forward in a relationship with Jesus as he leads us into it. More than that, in addition to the pathways in the wilderness, he's also providing streams of water in the wasteland. Now, Nevada is a beautiful place, especially if you've grown up here. You can see it's incredibly brown and gray, but there's tons of life in the desert. But there's places when you get out, especially if you go out Highway 50 East, it's called the loneliest highway in America for a reason. It literally is just, there's seems to be nothing out there. And back in the day, when the pioneers were coming from the east to the west, and they're coming across the country, and they're coming down, and they're going through Nevada, the places that they, the reason we have the highways we have and the roads that we have through Nevada are because they followed the water, they followed the river, they followed where they would have ample supplies. And even now, when we don't necessarily need to have the water in order to put a highway across Nevada, we still have followed that path. God back in the day says, not only am I going to make a path for you in the desert, I'm going to provide water that will give you what you need for refreshment as you go forward, even if it's in the middle of a wasteland. The stuff and the areas of life that have been good for nothing, God's creating a way for a path to go across it, and while we're going across it, for us to be refreshed and for us to be watered. I hear that. And I immediately, even though I was the guy a couple minutes ago who was saying, you know what, don't try and make meaning happen with this. Don't try and interpret it. I immediately start thinking, okay, Lord, what does that look like? Lord, where are you wanting to move? Is this what you're doing? And it's not a problem to begin asking those questions, but in a lot of ways, we have to bring ourselves back and to kind of humble ourselves, quiet our soul, quiet our heart, say, all right, I don't know what's going to happen yet, but I know that I'm here, that God is doing something good, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to be looking for the pathways, and I'm going to trust for the provision, because often the provision comes after the path has already begun. I wish we could be fully provisioned going forward, but there's an aspect of faith in process that God invites us to. If we trust him and we'll put our faith in him, we will see him act on our behalf in ways that are unprecedented. And this is not about a personal glory or the, you know, growing huge or all this great stuff happening that we would typically associate with great stuff. This is God's purposes and plans for our individual life, but for the life of Hillside and the greater Reno-Sparks-Carson City area as well. So with that said, I want to invite us to take a moment right now. So let's just, if you can, it may be awkward, maybe where nobody's going to be seeing you because, again, you're looking at a computer screen or a TV. Close your eyes for a second. I will keep my eyes closed except when I'm looking at my notes. Promise. Okay. So I want to invite you to take a moment in the silence to bring yourself to the table, to offer up our old our broken, our hurting areas, the areas we can readily identify. They're the areas that we have been grieving through 2020, the areas of loss, the areas where things aren't working the way they're supposed to, the areas where there's been devastation. And those areas are very easy to see. I want to invite you to bring those to the Lord. I want you to say, just even in your heart and your head, you know, Lord, I'm bringing those to you, and I don't know what to happen, what's going to happen with them, but I just ask you to bring healing and wholeness and transformation. One of the things that happened yesterday, and keep, go ahead and keep your eyes closed, happened yesterday is our granddaughter Mila was over here for Christmas, and as she had put on her new costume that she had gotten for Christmas, she was Violet Incredible from The Incredibles, and just running around and doing all sorts of fun things, just having a great time. She got her cape, or her, excuse me, her costume caught in the door, because there's no capes. She got her costume caught in one of the doors, and it ripped. And she was just heartbroken, and she brought that to her grandma. I said, Grandma, it ripped. Grandma, it's broken. And Grandma said, I'm going to make it new. Don't worry, Mimi. And with just no, not even giving it another thought, Mimi took that costume, gave it to her grandma, and she knew when she comes back, Grandma's going to have made it new. That's a picture for us, that kind of childlike trust to bring those things that are ripped and broken, even if it's been something we did, most likely it doesn't have to be, but something that has happened in us and in our lives, to trust with that childlike faith, God is going to do something good. Lord, as we present these things to you, I pray that you would reveal, in the time it's supposed to be revealed, what the directions are, the pathway in this wilderness. Lord, the water in the wasteland that you said you're going to provide, both personally for us and in our families, in our church, in our community, in the people we interact with. Lord, we would ask that you would do a miraculous thing. And Lord, help us to be people who are patient, who are kind, who are compassionate, who don't have to have things their way all the time in order to be happy and to be content and to follow you, but people who exhibit trust and faith in action, people who can be content in the circumstances that we happen to be in. Pray that you would surround us with your angels, and Lord, cause these words to dwell richly inside of our hearts and inside of our minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen. So, Hillsiders, with these scriptures that you've heard, with the things that I've said, I would love to hear feedback from you. Maybe it's going to come right after the message and you're on Facebook or YouTube and you're feeding back on that and writing things down. If you're like me, maybe it's going to take a little longer than that and you really want to spend some time in your journal or spend some time in a notebook or on your phone just making notes and writing things down. Regardless, sometimes one of the things that is most helpful in working through the areas that we need to grow in faith is to speak those things out to other people. And I'm not necessarily saying broadcast it to the world, but with a few trusted individuals in your life, it's a family friend, a spouse, you know, someone who is trustworthy, you can share, here's what I sense God may be doing or where he's leading me, or I've got a couple pictures, here's what it might look like. And just allow it to sit out there and maybe get some feedback from friend or some, I'll stand with you in prayer about that. But trusting that God's going to accomplish what he said he's going to accomplish. And our role is to treasure it in our heart and to take steps forward as he leads us towards that, as he guides us in that direction. I'm going to be praying that as we head into 2021, this is the last meeting together that we have in all of 2020. And so this year's gone radically different than I would have thought it would, I know for you as well. But as we head into 2021, I'm praying that you will get to experience the heights and depths and breadth of the love of God evidenced in your life. And that love of God is something that gives you a confidence and a faith to know that even when it's unsure, even when we're feeling insecure, that where God is taking us is to a pleasant place. There's a scripture in the Psalms that talks about how, God, your boundaries have fallen to me in pleasant places. Please know, God is working to do his very best in our lives, even when it doesn't look like it initially. Don't forget the words of Psalm 23, as the psalmist is talking about being led into places of rest, and he's being forced to lie down in green pastures and beside still waters, and these things that you'd think, of course he's going to want to go there. But there's something in us that we resist even the things that are the things of God. May we not resist this year. May we be open, may we embrace it, and may we be people who then share that message of life and hope by the way that we live and act towards other people, but also with the words that we speak. Hillsiders, church community, people I love, looking forward to being with you soon. I want to say God bless you. Have a great rest of your day and have a great rest of 2020. We will be getting back hopefully hearing this next Wednesday, the 30th of December, to kind of let you know what our plans are for the month of January as far as meeting and meeting together. Have not decided that. We will be coming up to with that, looking at it on Wednesday of this next week. But in the meantime, God bless you. Have an incredible rest of your day.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.